a front row seat to the untold stories as we talk about how to live life on your terms. You're officially part of the inner circle. Welcome to Courtside with Courtney. And don't worry, I comped your ticket. Welcome back to another episode of Courtside with Courtney. Today we have some juicy wedding updates.
Do we?
I think you have the juicy updates.
Right?
I don't know.
Like at our cores, like, don't you think most people are just hella nosy?
Yeah, oh, for sure.
Definitely. And I think like that's juicy as it is. Like,
yeah,
juicy doesn't have a negative connotation, but I feel like it's updates and like the people are nosy and you have to give the people what
there's
they want
updates
sometimes.
For sure. I feel like I was just here.
Should I give any life updates in this
one? Maybe.
Maybe I should.
Plot twist, is Courtney getting married too?
No, I'm not getting married. I mean, maybe one day, but not today. So maybe you guys can throw it back at me with a little heat at some point.
I think we can make that happen. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so my two girlies are engaged. We did a whole episode with Kirsten on the engagement.
Right after the engagement.
Right after it happened, which is really cool that you have that. Yeah. We actually haven't done a whole episode with Allie on the engagement. Our episode with you on the podcast was actually before you were ever engaged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was.
Because I think like you were the second episode ever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So December.
Yeah, yeah. Post Liz, all about feminine energy, which is still one of my favorite episodes because it is. It's a very helpful episode. Like if you're dating and you want to sort of understand how to soften up a little bit and be in your feminine energy, something that I admittedly struggle with, this is a great episode.
It was definitely, it got me a ring.
Yeah. So
maybe not the episode, but the advice in the episode, it's worked for me.
Yeah. So. Proof's in the pudding on that one.
Yeah.
And I feel like that episode has helped me a lot. Personally, mm-hmm. like I feel like I've implemented a lot of that stuff and it's definitely been like I've seen also the proof in the pudding.
It's been really cool watching that arc for you. Yeah.
So both my ladies are engaged. And how far apart was it? Like a month and a half?
I got engaged. March. Yeah, it was like a month and a half. I was mid-February.
Okay. So we need to maybe do a separate podcast episode, Allie, but give us like a little bit of a rundown. Carmel.
A sneak peek.
It was beautiful. The engagement, and then we'll go into
it. Amazing. And I think that like it really goes back to that first episode that we recorded about how within my relationship with Ryan, I'm always like slowly guiding him to exactly what I want, which is to get engaged in Carmel, California.
And she did it, ladies and gentlemen.
And I did
it. But you do it in a way that isn't forceful or forcing anything.
No, it's not controlling.
It's not controlling and it's not suggesting. Like
it's suggestions. And I'm with an amazing man who's really smart and wants to make me happy. And he did an amazing job. It was really such a beautiful engagement. He surprised me with our siblings there the day that we got engaged. And it was just like the most magical weekend.
Maybe we can drop like a photo somewhere on the video. Bing, right here. But it was so freaking cute.
Yeah, he really killed it.
The dress was stunning that you were wearing.
I know. If you
look, hair up, the wind. Oh my gosh.
If you look at the pictures from the engagement, you like know that I know that I'm getting engaged because I'm like in a full white gown. And
it's giving. It wasn't my idea.
You know, he's so smart. He knew that I wanted photos. He knew that I would want to feel done up. Like I would want to feel my best when we get engaged. And he planned this whole like photo shoot for us just because.
Yeah, he said it was just because.
And it was so sweet the way that he was so excited about it.
And he really thought you didn't know. Like he really was like, man, I pulled one over on this one. Like, gonna get a photo shoot for Valentine's Day just because. And I just remember you being like, it's actually after Valentine's Day, but this sounds great.
Yeah, we got engaged like 2 days after Valentine's Day or 3 days after Valentine's Day. So yeah, that was funny. And I think that he knew I knew, but we both had this like unspoken thing where we were like, we're going to
pretend.
Yeah, we're going to pretend we don't know. And you never can prepare for how you're going to feel when you get engaged. Like it's just the most amazing, magical moment. And nothing takes away from that. Even the fact that I like, even when we were getting ready to go to the photo shoot, I was still in the back of my mind like, what if he doesn't? Like,
what if I worked this all in my head?
Yeah, I would be so.
You know what's crazy that I'm sitting here thinking too, which is so wild. When I got engaged the second time, and it was not the most magical day. It's so crazy to think back on that, like, is so obvious now. Mm-hmm. But Audrey and I said, like, even on Audrey's episode, she was like, your stomach hurt all day.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think Audrey's stomach hurt.
Audrey's stomach hurt all day. We were, like, so anxious. It's just crazy.
Did you know it was happening?
I didn't know, but I knew. Yeah, mm-hmm. I knew. Like, I assumed, I thought it was happening. And I was miserable all day, but I didn't realize I was miserable. I just was like, this is so weird. Like, I'm having butterflies, but really it was complete and utter anxiety because it was absolutely the wrong person. And like, mm-hmm. obviously shortly after he turned extremely abusive and all the things that we already like have dove into. And this isn't like, I'm not to take this in like a negative direction, but more, it's just so crazy how feeling that moment with like the right person is so different than mm-hmm. just like having the moment.
I think that it goes back to like when they get on their knee, you know, mm-hmm. you know, like, you knew in your in your gut,
I knew,
you know.
But like, it's weird. It's, I don't know how to explain this. I'm not sure if this is going to come off right, but it's like, yes, I've had the experience, but I haven't had that experience.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if there's any other way I can like say that other than I think when that happens for me in the future, if that mm-hmm. happens for me in the future, I feel like in a weird way, it's going to feel like the first time because
it's the first right time.
It's the first right time. And I haven't had actually had that feeling. So this is, even though I've been through those things, this is so interesting for me to listen to as a viewer too, because I've had the experience, but I haven't had the experience. Mm-hmm. It's kind of, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Totally. And I think too, that's a big testament to like your content. Cause you say all the time, like your body will tell you, listen, like it's not butterflies, it's anxiety. If you can't sleep, all these things. But like, that's just showing you went through that experience. You 100%. Haven't done it again.
No, 100%.
You listen to your body telling you.
Yes. And I've listened to my body since, and I've been right every time since. Mm-hmm. And that's really cool mm-hmm. to learn and grow from those lessons. But I think too, I just wanted to say this because this episode's going to be so happy and exciting and like filled with so much goodness and joy. But I wanted to say to anyone that's listening that maybe is in the situation that I was in to some degree and is not happy or is forcing it or feels trapped or stuck or anything like that, you don't have to be. Mm. You don't have to be trapped or stuck. You don't have to have any shame attached to those feelings. You can leave. Like, you really can, because this, what they're experiencing and what we're talking about on today's episode, like, makes me emotional because it's so inspiring. Like, you guys both have like such beautiful, true, like good, real versions of what love is and should be. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to say to like people listening, if you aren't in that situation, view this as like inspiring and exciting. There's not one bone in my body that isn't like beyond happy and excited for you guys mm-hmm. and like wants to be along for the journey. But if someone is listening and they're in a bad situation, I did just want to say like, you can leave the situation and you can be inspired by this and you can have this, your version of this one day too. But let that be inspiring and like guide you, not be like, damn, like I'm not going to have that. Like, let it be exciting and inspiring and like eye-opening. And if you are in a situation where someone has gotten down on their knee or is going to get down on their knee and it isn't right and you do feel that anxiety, not that pure, loving, knowing moment, like leave before it's harder to leave.
Yeah, and know when you're in that moment that you can have it.
Exactly.
It's so scary to leave something, and it's scary sometimes when you're not alone to think about being alone.
It's scary to start over.
It's scary to start over.
And in my case, it was like, I felt like I was going to be really judged. And that's what I was scared of. But like, fuck that. Mm. Fuck the people that judge you. Like, they're not the ones waking up in your life every day. You're the one that has to wake up in your life every day. And whether you're with someone that's mean or they're abusive or they're miserable or they're like just not treating you how you deserve to be treated, and you know that, leave. Fuck what everybody else thinks, because you can choose to be inspired by the fact that like you want something really real and true, and you're not going to settle for anything less. So let this be inspiring and not like bring you down in any way. Mm-hmm. Am I articulating that well?
I think so. And I also think like, I can't imagine if you hadn't called off your last engagement.
Oh, I would never, I wouldn't be anywhere I am today.
If you hadn't gotten divorced even, like, thank goodness you did those things. Even in the moment, it was really hard. You were nervous about being judged, all the things.
It wasn't the easy path for sure. But it was 100% the right path. I stand by both decisions today. And I know that like, if and when I find that person, it's going to be amazing because even like with my parents growing up, like I've been surrounded by such incredible, amazing examples of what that's supposed to look like that luckily I have a really healthy vision of a clear vision of what I want. But I did want to touch on that before we get into all the good, exciting things that like, if you are in a situation, you can leave. Like you don't have to listen, being like, damn, I'm not going to have that. Like you can have it too, but you do need to get out of the situation that you're in.
I also think to any of you out there who are judgmental to the fact that Courtney has been divorced and called off her engagement, like let's have a reality check. Check in with ourselves. Those are great things that you did. And I get so offended when I see people trying to pick at that and like, I don't know, try to make you feel guilty or insecure about those decisions.
Because the reality too is like, I've shared, like I've said he was abusive or I've said stuff like that, but I've never actually told the story.
No. And for people someone to really know even the tidbits that you've given them and say, like, try to blame you in that situation is wild to me.
It's everything that's wrong with our society. Uh-huh,
exactly.
In a nutshell.
It's truly. Also like,
and look, they both know the story, to be clear.
It's about prioritizing your own happiness and your health.
And Kinsley's.
And like, we can be an example of you can have true happiness and health within a relationship. And if you're not feeling that, it's probably not where you're meant to be.
And if you're listening to this, even questioning if you're with the right person, that question alone is your answer.
Mm-hmm.
If you are, let me say this again. If you are questioning if you're with the right person, the fact that you're questioning it alone is your answer. You have everything that you need right there. Because in those situations, I know for a fact that neither of you question if you're with the right person. You're 100% sure. It doesn't mean you don't have hard days, but you are 100% certain that you are actively choosing this person as your life partner.
And the right person.
Yes.
And you choose that person even on the hard days.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Because you chose the right person to choose, you know? Mm-hmm. So let's get into the juicy stuff. But I did just want to make that kind of like disclaimer very clear at the beginning. If you're in a situation, get out. There's nothing to be ashamed of. The only people that should be ashamed of anything is the one judging other people.
Yeah. Sorry, I got a little feisty there.
No, you should. Yeah, I appreciate you. I love you for that. Sometimes it's good when your friends say the things that you can't, you know?
Right.
Okay. So y'all got engaged about a month and a half apart. The stories are both amazing, so unique and beautiful, and happened the exact way I feel like they were supposed to happen. So different and so equally special and like exactly what you both wanted, which is really cool, which is also a testament to how well the guys know you guys too, right? Is to say like, here's exactly what you would want. Here's exactly what you would want. Exactly. And then like, it is exactly what.
Yeah. If we had the same engagement story, one of us would be making the wrong decision because I feel like you and I are pretty like polar opposites in most things.
Yeah. It was very, we both had it exactly how it was supposed to happen for us.
Yeah. And that's cool because that means the guys like listened and respected that and were like here for it and really wanted to like show up and show out in the way that you guys wanted that. And that's so cool.
And that's the beauty in finding your person and like why you should not compare yourself to other people because your love story is going to be so unique to who you are. And when you find someone who recognizes that and like really makes something special for who you are, not just like the show, it's magic. Yeah.
And someone that loves like all those parts of you, all the parts, like even your least favorite ones. Like that's the coolest thing.
No, it's the craziest thing ever. I talk about it all the time. When you find someone and it's like, why did, like we actually just fit. And out of all the people in the world, we've just fit so well.
You don't have to force it. And it's like one of my favorite songs, Golf on TV by Lynn and Stella. That's like what I envision as like love for me. And it's kind of like, it doesn't have to be hard. It being easy is a good thing. And like feeling like you have to force it is really what gets people in trouble and in spots. Like I've been in that spot. So I don't say that with judgment, but like really has. But I want to talk about like past the engagement, the actual like wedding planning. I feel like planning a wedding in 2024 is stressful.
It's crazy.
Like if 10 is the most stress you feel, like the most stressed out you've ever felt, like where is planning a wedding on the scale of 1 to 10?
I'm going to give it an 8.
Really? It's that stressful?
I'm very stressed.
Yeah.
What about you? Because I feel like we've had very different experiences.
I think this is another testament to like how opposite we are. Yeah. Like I don't feel any stress at all. I think the industry is crazy.
That's how it was when I got engaged to Alex. My mom did so much. Like, the wedding was beautiful. My mom did so much. I called her the other day listening to all this stuff. And I was like, Mom, like, you must have really been out there, like, doing your thing, because I wasn't stressed out at all. And she was like, yeah. She was like, I was hand-dipping votive, glitter votives for you. And you were just like, nah. Yeah. But, like, I think it depends, too, like, how specific your vision is. Like, I feel like, Allie, you've probably always had, like, an exact vision of what you want. Now, whether or not you end up executing to your vision or changing your mind, like, you're the kind of person that probably has, like, a bridal Pinterest board.
I've had it since I was 17.
Yep.
I started it when I got engaged. But I think too, like, they're kind of pricing people out of getting married.
Oh my God, it's so messed up. The entire industry is just crazy. Messed up.
Like, if you're looking for a job, go check out the wedding industry, because
is it really that expensive now?
It's so expensive.
There's so much money in it. And because they know they can get away with it.
Yes. Like, you throw out the word wedding. Ooh.
Yeah.
Higher.
So what was the first? Okay, let me ask you this, because I think this is really fascinating too. When it comes to wedding planning, I feel like it's important to prioritize what's most important to you and your partner. Obviously, whether it's like, we want all of our friends and family there. That's really important to us. I want like the dress of my dreams. I want the cake to be amazing. I don't really care about the flowers, or like, I want to have a destination, or I don't care if there's people there. Like, everyone's vision is different. So what are both of your, we'll start with Kirsten, both of your top three, like, most important things for you and Mason?
I think for us, like, number one, we didn't want to be feeling so spread thin that we couldn't enjoy ourselves. This is supposed to be a night all about us becoming one, like, loving each other, getting to enjoy it. I didn't want to have so many people there that, one, I felt like Mason and I didn't get to
have time,
spend any time together and like have those special moments and just like live in it. That was really important for us, is kind of slimming down the guest list as much as possible.
So that it's those priority people that you if know you want to
everyone
be there.
You're sitting, spending 10 minutes, 20 minutes talking to is like someone that you really care about having that time talking to them. And then food and like music.
Okay, so prioritizing people, which actually means like core people, cutting down the list a little bit. So you're eliminating what I call fringe people, music and food. Are you doing DJ or playlist?
I think we're going to do DJ.
I mean, sorry, DJ or band.
Potentially a mix of both.
Oh, cool.
We haven't, like, we're still figuring out
maybe first dance
price difference and like how does that all look like. But like the food aspect is something that's really important to Mason. So that was immediately like pushed to the top. And then we both really want it to be a party and like a good time. You know, our friend group. Like,
of course.
We want to have some fun. So that's where the music came in.
What food is he wanting? Like, what's the vibe?
Do you want to guess?
It's obviously red meat, but like, is it tacos, steak?
Barbecue.
Steak and steak. Yeah.
Barbecue is number one. Like, ideal thing for him.
Yeah, that makes
I'm down.
Sense. I should have guessed that.
I was guessing barbecue.
I knew it had to be something
nice
with
Texas
meat.
Wedding, nice and meaty.
Nice and meaty.
What is y'all's?
Allie and Ryan. I want to get Ryan on the podcast soon.
You need to get Ryan. He'd be good.
Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah,
that
would be fun.
Okay.
I think for us, it was about really having it be an experience for everyone who's coming and really having it be intimate, which has been a challenge because we both have really big families.
Yeah.
So like our list with families alone is already like almost 80 people.
Seriously?
If we're extending to extended relatives, like great aunts and great uncles and like cousins and cousins that we maybe don't know that well, but like,
are you inviting cousins that you don't know that well?
So that's where we're at. We're trying to figure, I mean, we feel like if we do it locally, we have to do everybody. And that's what's really been challenging because I don't want to compromise on my vision.
I feel like you don't have to do everybody. Hot take. I think you need to do what you want to do. Like you and him.
But I think I feel that's like where we're at right now. But I think that when we're like boiling it down to, okay, what is my vision, which I'm not really willing to compromise on. Like I don't want a room that's going to define what the aesthetic of the wedding looks like.
What is
I really
the vision?
Twinkly lights. I want it to be outside. Like I want to eat outside. Very Italian.
Oh, I love that.
And even if we could dance outside, I feel like that would be so fun and just unique. I haven't been to a wedding like that. That's why originally I really wanted a tent, but tents are like
wild. Crazy.
I got quoted for the tent $20,000.
It's also so crazy because in the grand scheme of things, it's like you think about, it's literally a tent. Like
for a night, it's a tent.
Yeah, not the going floor, camping.
No.
The floor, another $20,000.
The tent under the floor. You're like, sorry, bitches. You're going on the grass.
And then you have to do food. And like, if we did it locally, we're looking at like a guest list of almost 200 people. So then you're adding in food and you're adding in decorations. The one place I'm willing to compromise is in flowers. I don't feel like I need a ton of like, I want it outside for a reason. Like it's already beautiful. I don't think we need to do a ton. We can do some baby's breath. Maybe some candles, definitely some candles. I just really want it to be warm and romantic and just special.
Wait, Kirsten, what's your list?
Of the vibe?
No, people. Like yes, number count. Of
people. Oh, so our venue can hold max 200.
Okay.
So we're really trying to invite like a strict 200. So we're under, but we're currently, I think, at like 215, 220. But I also don't want to be like so shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
And like, I know they say not everyone comes. I'm not expecting every single person to come, but kind of what you're saying, if we could be under 200, that lowers the cost in everything, mm-hmm. which just gives you a little bit more room to do other things. And it's like, I don't know, if you're listening to this and you don't get invited, I'm so sorry. But it's hard. It is really hard because it's so like, hard. Okay, if I invite this one person, then it extends into now I need to invite their significant other. And then
but here's
this person and this person and this person. So it's like you do have to draw the line somewhere.
I am a big give people plus one person. I know this is like another huge thing that people don't do, but I want to talk about that in a minute. But here's the deal. I also think that if you're a fringe person that isn't getting invited, that might be a wedding that like you probably don't really want to go to anyways.
Yeah.
Because there are those weddings we've all gotten invited to where we're like, oh, I feel obligated to go, mm-hmm. but I don't want to. Weddings are expensive. It's a hassle. It's a whole weekend. It's travel. It's like maybe those people that are on the fringe don't want to go anyways. Mm-hmm. Right?
I also think your feelings might be hurt now, but once you start planning your wedding,
you probably are
going to get it and understand a little bit more. Because it's,
yeah,
it's not like we're going down the list and saying, oh, we don't really care about this person or like them. It's just like, this is the max that we can make happen.
Yeah.
So, like, who's priority in that? Obviously, our family is going to be at the top of the list.
Let's get into the plus one conversation because your face is saying no plus ones. I can't tell about Ali. She's always a closed.
She's a pleasant face girl.
She just is always like, Kirsten can't hide her face. But close friends get plus ones. I like that vibe.
Close friends get a plus one. Like if you're going to be in the bridal party, you're getting a plus one no matter what.
And whether or not you choose to bring it is your prerogative.
Not. I also think anyone who has been in a relationship for like a year plus.
Kirsten, I might need a plus
one. It's a plus one.
I was thinking about that actually the other day because I was like, currently, Courtney doesn't have to have a plus one. We're going to have to see about a couple no's first. Well, I'll let you know.
Courtney might currently need a plus one.
Ours, as of now, is very like...
Allie, I'm hiding my forehead. Like looking at Allie the camera? Nervous.
You're going to be in a very serious relationship to be getting a plus one. That's kind of how we've been right now.
Yeah.
And two people, like, are we going to be making trips down to where we need to be?
Wait, what do you mean?
Like, I have to get to know him better. You know?
Well, you're supposed to come on Saturday. I mean, on Friday.
Exactly. Like, if he is...
Step one.
Like, so if he's coming to Austin and I'm getting the opportunity to, like, really meet this person and know this person...
No pressure.
Yeah. If you were dating that one person, you would not have gotten a plus one.
Oh,
yeah.
My ex.
Nope.
No. Uh-uh. That's because you don't like him.
It's been like, how long? It's been like a year and a half since I've had a boyfriend.
Yeah. So y'all will know when it comes to the wedding, if Courtney has a plus one,
it's because it's serious.
It's really serious. And two, I've spent a lot of time with them and
you approve.
Yeah, you vetted
him out. If she's dating someone and they're not invited,
you're going to love him. Yeah. I actually know that for a fact, but you can tell me after the margarita.
I will.
I feel like within the conversation of guest count, within the conversation of having a specific vision, which obviously I've had, I think the reason that I really wanted to come on and talk about this is because you have to be okay with the fact that your vision is going to shift and you're going to get a version of what your vision is, but it may not be to a T.
But you know what? It might actually be your new, better version, exactly. Like your new better vision. Because when I was at Berkeley, when John Mayer came to speak, I've referenced this a couple of times for different reasons and situations, but John Mayer came to speak and he was essentially saying at one point in the conversation to allow your limitations to become part of like your aesthetic to a degree. So his vocal range isn't like super high and super low, it like kind of hits in the middle. That almost became so much of his aesthetic, right? And it's kind of like your limitations, whether it's location, budget, whatever it is, like it can almost become like an essential part of the aesthetic in a weird way. Like it can almost be reframed in like a positive way. And then the vision can become cooler and more beautiful because you're having to like DIY some things or work around some things, you know?
I think that that's like what I've seen within the evolution of what my vision is. Like, okay, my vision has been the stunningly beautiful tens of thousands of dollar tents that I've seen on Instagram. And then I realized how expensive they are. And I'm like, I can't spend that. I can't justify that for a 6-hour event. So what are the things about this that I like? I like that it feels like you're under the stars. I like that it's not a room that's defining what our aesthetic is going to be for our wedding. Can we recreate that in other ways? Yeah,
that's such a cool question. Because that alone is like, get underneath. So say you see a picture of a wedding dress. It'll be another example. And you're like, this is my dream dress. It's insane, but it's like 15 grand. You're like, holy shit, that's out of the budget. Obviously, you go and look at it and you're like, okay, well, what do I really like about this? Oh, I love that it has like a really low back and that it's sparkly and has like whatever, like whatever it is that you like about it, right? You're like, oh, that's what I like. It's not that it's this designer that nobody can even see the tag. It doesn't matter. It's the fact that like it's low and I feel like that's sexy and it's sparkly and that's feminine and like getting, that's a good thing, really cool thing you touched on. Get underneath, like, what do you really like about it?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think too, that's part of what makes weddings so special is because the final product that you end up with is all of the things that you really prioritized and that are important to you and are
so uniquely
specific
you.
To you, because like it's not the tent that you were dying to have. It's kind of the vibe that it was giving off. So it's like the fact that you're not spending money on that and getting to put that towards something else that is so much more important to you. Like, I think that's why they all come out tailored so specifically.
Yeah. And I also think I've been to quite a few weddings in my 36 years, and the more personal, the better.
Mm-hmm.
Like the more they feel like the goal, in my opinion, for everyone's wedding should be like, you go to the wedding and you're like, oh my God, that's so Kirsten.
Yeah.
Like that's so Allie, you know, like just it feeling so you guys, I think is the most important part.
I think my biggest fear for the wedding, I have two. One would be that it's so big and overdone. It's such a production that it doesn't feel like us at all. Like the production of it all, the production of it all took over what it's meant to be about, which is the celebrating the love that we have. Mm. Like, I don't want people to be excited about the bouquets. I want them to be excited about the speeches that we're touching and the way that we interacted during the evening and those moments, you know?
I think like our friend group is tight enough and everyone like loves you guys enough that that's like not a thing. I don't think that's even possible, but I get what you're saying.
It could happen that if you try and make it this big production, it just kind of swallows what it is.
Yes, that definitely does happen in weddings. Like you've seen that and you're like, holy shit, this looks like it should be in like Vogue or whatever, but like it's just really beautiful, but it didn't feel
it's really pretty pictures
feel
and that's
anything.
It. Yeah. And I think that the second fear is that it's so big that we can't really enjoy the time that we have. Like I think Ryan and I have been so intentional about being very present throughout our entire relationship. Like when we're together, I'm not scrolling through my phone. I'm very intentional about every second that I spend with him. And it would be such a shame for our wedding to not feel the same way. Like, I want to be intentional about being really present with him, with the people who matter the most to us, the people who love us the most. I'm nervous about the big 200 person wedding not giving us the chance to truly like enjoy that time.
I think too, I haven't gotten married yet, but this is the game plan I have in my head. Like, we're going to try to set a really hard boundary of like, when it's time to dance,
it's time to dance.
We're going to be dancing. If we haven't had the chance to come and say hi to you yet, please come interrupt, come dance with us to a song and give us a hug and like a photo and best wishes and stuff. But like, that's one of the things that's important to us. So it's, that's what I want to be doing with him. And
yeah,
not get so wrapped up into like, I haven't been to table 13 yet, so I need to make my appearance.
Have you seen people like do the run around and take pictures in mm-hmm. under like a minute or something with every table?
No, I haven't seen that.
My cousin did it at his wedding.
Oh, wow. I think too, it's like realizing that hopefully like if the goal is just to have like your people there, everyone's going to understand.
Mm-hmm.
It's also not the only time everyone gets with you.
Yep.
In life, like they should be close enough to you that they already know what's going on. They're caught up. They just want to hug you and say, I love you. You look beautiful. I'm so happy for you. And that's like, that's really all they need to say.
Mm-hmm.
Cause they don't need to be like, how was it? It's like, they're there, you know? Yeah. So I think to a degree, like assuming you're close enough with everyone that they're getting invited, they got to kind of understand that it's about you guys, you know?
Mm-hmm. This is something that Courtney doesn't know because we haven't had the chance to talk about the wedding and quite some time, but we're actually looking at Mexico now.
Oh my gosh, so fun.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's going to be amazing.
Yeah. I'm
so excited.
I feel like for me, going back to all the things that I said I'm scared about and all of the things that I was prioritizing, we've been looking in DC, and it's like DC is so buttoned up and like the word DC just gives me anxiety. You know?
Mexico sounds like
I want to be at ease. I want to have
back to the margarita.
I want to be with my like closest people, and then it's totally 3 days of like just
it's a vacation,
really enjoying each other. And then my mom can enjoy instead of running around like checking in with her head cut off, trying to make everything happen, being worried about her aunts and uncles and if they're comfortable, and like I just want you to be there and be present with
us. I also feel like a destination like happily eliminates people that you like had to invite.
It's the pro and the con.
Because they won't make it on purpose, like, which is fine. And I think it gives the guests an out too. Like if you got the like, I don't want to call it pity invite because that's harsh, but you know what I mean? Like if you got the like, you're on my I have to invite you list. Maybe.
Or on the other end, if you're getting the invite.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. It's like a good excuse too. Like, oh, I just can't like swing that right now. Like that's a good excuse if you're the invitee as well as the person inviting to like not have to show up.
Yeah.
And then you almost windle it down to the people that are like, I'm willing to take the time and the money to go and like be there because it's that important to me. Then they're probably pretty close to you.
We'll still invite everyone. But they will make the decision that they're not going to be there.
Exactly.
And we're making the decision that we're doing this knowing that, okay, a lot of people who we would love to have there may not be able to come, but that's okay because it's going to eliminate the stressors of everything else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
That's so exciting.
And let's talk about like time of year.
Allie. Oh my God, I had such a specific time of year. I have changed everything 200 times, which is why I've stopped talking about it because I'm like, I'm going to come to you and I'm going to tell you what I'm doing when I actually know what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we were originally thinking December and then we started leaning more towards spring of 2025.
This I did know.
Yeah.
What month are we talking though?
I think if we do Mexico, March is a good month because people want to get out. Like it's that like in between Christmas, like the excitement of Christmas, the blues of the new year, and then before spring actually hits.
Yeah, it's like when you're craving summer.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
But it's not too hot in Mexico either because I think last summer I went in like July.
Oof.
The pool felt like a hot tub, which we were just on the beach the whole time, so it was fine. But like
when did
I took cold showers the whole time I was there. It was so hot. Just recently?
Yeah. Was that March?
Oh, yeah.
It was perfect.
March is great.
It was great. Mm-hmm. It was perfect. And what time of year for you?
I'm getting married in November.
This November. Isn't yeah, that crazy?
I'm getting yeah. married in November of 2024.
Like she said, let's get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
Fast and Furious 8 over here.
It's just been so fascinating watching the way that you have just like taken the engagement and you've run with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, every time I think I get something, I'm like halted.
Oh.
I like think I'm running and then I run into a wall. It's just, it is, I think the reason that I really wanted this episode to be with Kirsten on it too, like I thought it would be such a good idea to do the three of us, is because no way is the wrong way. Like mm-hmm. as a bride, yeah. the only right way is what works for you and your fiance. And like, you might have so many ideas for what you want for your wedding, or you might be like Kirsten, who hasn't dreamed about it so much and you really want it to be. I mean,
just the vibes.
My God, you're doing it the right way. You're like, it's just about me and Mason getting married. I'm like, I care about the aesthetic so much.
But that's so you.
But it's like, so
it's
me.
So you.
Yeah.
And if and you Ryan. Weren't emphasizing that, you would get to the end and it like wouldn't be y'all's wedding.
Yeah,
yeah. Be so happy. True. That's so true.
Let's talk like other festivities, like bachelorette parties. Where are we thinking? When are we thinking?
I'm thinking September. Basically, almost all of my best friends are getting married this year. Not all, but majority. And my sister. So we're all in each other's weddings. September, no one's getting married. No one has a bachelorette. It's perfect.
I have two ideas. One is no bachelorette.
Ooh, because Mexico.
Because Mexico. We already have people flying out and traveling for our wedding. Let's just get to Mexico early and do a day. Like, I do a day with the girls and Ryan does a day with the boys on like Thursday. And then Friday we have the rehearsal dinner and then Saturday is the wedding.
Wednesday, Thursday,
whatever it is. Yeah.
Like, I feel like one day is not enough. Right?
And then the other idea. So Ryan doesn't love that idea because he doesn't want to party too hard before the wedding and then be tired at the wedding.
That's why I was saying the extra day.
Yeah. So if not that, then I'm thinking December in the Hamptons.
Major slay.
Iconic.
Which is.
That's kind of. In a weird way, getting what you wanted from the wedding vibe too.
Yes.
To a degree. Like yeah. that's almost like getting that like winter something vibe.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
What is his top pick? Do something in December? Because where would he go?
I don't know where he would go. I really don't.
Oh, I have beef. I have a beef to pick with bachelor parties.
Okay.
I really do.
Hopefully it's not my plan.
God, I hope so too.
Are you about to bully us?
No, I really hope it's not your plan either, because I'd have to stand up and object if this is the plan. First of all, I actually love like a joint situation. I think hot take, that'd be so fun.
It is fun.
That's my first thought. It's like always kind of what I feel like I would want if I did it again. Number one. Number two, it's hard to do. So I don't know if it would actually work like in reality, because you would want to invite, you know, the other person's person, like if it's a guy and he has a girl, like you invite them, and then it's like, it's not even a lot more people as much as it's just like, then it's random people that you're like, yeah, you start dating, I don't really know you, like I don't know, yeah. It could get weird. I recognize. Hot take though, all these dudes going on bachelor parties, I have seen enough in my life to know the sketch ass things that men do on bachelor parties, and maybe women too, but I feel like primarily men. You're not single, you're engaged. I just want to put this out there. And I love that TikTok's now like hunting down people where they're like,
Brad in California.
Yeah, Brad in California. If your fiance, his name's Brad and he's in California and he's wearing an orange shirt and a white hat, he just cheated on you at the pool at 2 p.m. You're like, oh, fuck. Like Brad's got it in. But I think like, to be honest, slay. Because you shouldn't marry Brad, you know? Like you really shouldn't marry Brad. But here's the deal.
Well, and Brad doesn't want to marry you.
That's what I'm saying. But Brad probably does, because Brad's going to act like that the whole marriage too. Yeah. So my issue with bachelor parties specifically is y'all motherfuckers are not single. And y'all need new friends. Some of y'all need new friends. If this is what your friends
for sure.
It's the friends that are influencing you. It's like the one friend that recruits the four other friends. And they're like at the strip club with the like, y'all motherfuckers are not single. I just really need to put that out there into the world and just say, stop saying it's my last single night. You're engaged. You're not single. So
the strip club on the bachelor party is such an ick.
I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm not engaged. This is not coming from a place of like, my man, no. But I will just say, men on bachelor parties in general, y'all really think you're doing something? You're not. You're all an ick. So I just want to put that out there.
Agreed.
So yeah.
Not feeling bullied over
here. Yeah, I don't think I was bullying you on that one, Kirstella.
It's also one of those things, like if you're listening to this and you're thinking that your man might have a bachelor party and like you're a little bit anxious about it,
don't marry him.
Don't marry. Like, just think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I just heard you say that and I was like, you're not talking to me. You're not talking to my man.
100%.
You know?
You should be 100% confident that like your person would never act like that. But if you're not, and if you're like, he's going on a bachelor party, how is he going to act like not your man? That is not your man. But there are a lot of men like that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always the married ones. So I'm just putting that out there for all the ladies listening. A, if your man does shady shit on a bachelor party, you should break up with him. B, if you're even concerned that he might, you should break up with him. C, if you're the man doing that, you look like a loser.
Because you are.
And that's all I have to say on that topic. Like, thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Bye.
Well, if you want to be single too, like,
be single.
You should be single.
Yeah. I'm a big proponent of that. I was actually having this conversation last night where it was like, the respect, like, you should 100% trust your person. If you don't, they just shouldn't be your person. Like, if someone can steal your man, that's not your man. That's your problem. And at the end of the day, you do not want someone like you don't want to marry someone like that. So just realize that, like, they should be able to go and do their thing free and clear. And you should be, like, excited for them. I can't wait to hear all about it. Like, you're surrounding yourself, too. The reason you say that is not only Ryan's amazing, but Ryan has amazing friends.
Yeah.
Our friends are amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, not one single one of our friends would ever be like, hey, Ryan, look at that girl. Like, nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Ever. Like, everyone would 100% support him and you and like have y'all's back in the best interest of the relationship. And it makes it easy for him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's amazing. But it's like, there are a lot of guys, that's not the case. They keep their like shit friends around.
I also think that that's just like a testament to your guy should be like bringing you into his friend group. Like, you should be friends with his friends. Like, Ryan's best friend has become one of my best friends.
Yeah.
Like, it's, we're a family together. It's not he has his friends and I have my friends. Like, we're just all.
That's a red flag for sure.
Yeah, that would be a huge red flag.
Yeah. Okay, back to the topic at hand. But like, someone had to say it. Bridesmaid dresses. Number of bridesmaids and bridesmaid dresses. Do we have information on this?
Off the top of my head, I can't think of the exact number. But I know dresses. Originally, I was thinking a multicolor situation. Mason felt very strongly.
Of course he did.
The girls wearing one color, which is so funny to me. And so him.
So him.
To care about the most random things. So they will be in one color, different variations of the color, wearing whatever they feel best
in. Are we sharing the color or is it a secret?
I'll say it and I'll cut it if I change my mind. Okay. Red is the color of the dresses.
So unique.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Bright orangey red, dark red.
It's so pretty.
Mm-hmm. It's so you.
The picture you showed me was so pretty.
Oh, yeah. I want to see.
Yeah, I'll show.
It's gorgeous.
Sorry,
hold on. Have you asked people? Do you know
I've
who yet?
I've not asked people. Okay. I know who.
Okay. You picked them, but you haven't executed.
I haven't executed, but I know how I'm going to do it. And it's so cute.
Is it soon? Or are you waiting?
Soon-ish.
Okay.
I mean, it's got to be kind of soon because the wedding's coming.
Shoot. Yeah, your wedding is like right here.
Yeah.
I have 10. I know it's so much. Same. I know it's a lot. It's just, the thing is every friend that I've had throughout my life, and I've lived in so many different places. Like, I've had a lot of different variations of my life. And all of those people have been so crucial in me becoming who I am. And like,
important.
They're important people in my life. So I have 10 girls and was thinking white for the girls.
I love that.
Which I think is just so fun. But I am also thinking if we do Mexico, that's like half of the people who are going to be there are standing there. So I don't know how we'll play it. I think I'm still going to do a bridal party, but it just is going to be different. Like, yeah. You'll still get ready with me and you'll wear dresses, but like, maybe you're not standing up with us, like that kind of thing.
I'm pretty sure that as of now, unless something changes, like, we're not going to have them stand up either.
Yeah, I feel like maybe we have our siblings stand up with us if we want someone there. But I just feel like, I mean, it'll be an empty crowd if we have everybody.
I feel like people might surprise you.
You think? With people who are going to come?
Yeah, I think it's going to be more people than you think.
I think that it'll probably cut it in half. We'll probably have like between 80 to 100.
That's still
a lot of
significantly
people.
More than it's going to be like up there.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, is Ryan matching your, do you think the numbers need to match or does it not matter?
Doesn't matter.
Ryan has 7, I think.
Doesn't matter to me because I think like it's weird to eliminate someone just because they don't have someone or add someone just to like fill the gap. Like it should just be your people. But I was curious where you guys stood on that.
Yeah, I think that that's where we're at.
I love the idea too of the bridal party being actually able to see your faces. Because traditionally, the bridesmaids are standing behind the bride. Like
they're a person. Yeah.
Yeah. The person that they're like so excited to see. And kind of you have the worst seat in the house, really.
Yeah.
Can't even really see the groom hardly. Like,
yeah. My mom actually said that she really likes the idea of like the bride's family sitting on the side of the groom, the groom's family sitting on the side of the bride.
Yeah.
Because the way it's typically lined up, like
you can see the face.
Yeah. It's angled. Wouldn't be able to see the face.
That's how they just did it at my cousin's wedding. It was like he was facing here. And so like his front row people were like on the opposite side so they could see him facing it, which was cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think we'll probably do something like that.
I love that.
So fun.
I know. No, it's like,
so all of this to say I'm all over the place and that's okay.
Yeah, that is okay. I mean, you know, have time.
I feel like too, you've been like, I make a decision. I look, I kind of change my mind. I've been, I don't really have a decision. Talk to some people, then make your decision. Like, regardless of where you're at, you don't really know until you actually have a conversation with the vendor, the venue, the caterer, like whatever it is. You can't, it's really hard to do that if you're not talking to the person that's going to be actually helping you execute that thing.
Mm-hmm. I think the crazy part too is it's all moving pieces because maybe you end up liking a venue and then you don't like any of the caterers that go to that venue. Or maybe you, you know, like a venue and the date isn't available.
Yeah.
Or the time of year that you want isn't like, doesn't make sense for the place that you want. Or like there's so many moving pieces that have to kind of all fit together seamlessly. So it's almost like you have to get a lot of conversations done before you can make decisions sometimes. Cause like,
I think that that is the piece of advice that I would have for any brides or anyone who's getting engaged soon is just be willing to pivot if you need to.
So best relationship piece of advice and best advice for brides.
Oh, okay. For brides first. And then
in
I'll
this
think
like
about
season that you're currently
yeah.
in.
Okay. For brides, be willing to pivot. You will be able to have variations of what your vision is. It's hard when you're trying to fit everything in. You're trying to accommodate the 200 people. You're trying to worry about their budget. You're trying to worry about your budget. You're trying to get everything to be beautiful and perfect. You're not going to be able to have everything and just really be intentional about remembering what it's all about. And when you think about what it's really all about, what are the things that come to mind that you want? You know, okay, it's about me and Ryan. So if it's about me and Ryan, what do I want? I want to be able to enjoy the time with him. I want to be able to be present with him. And that might mean we go somewhere like Mexico so that the guest count cuts itself so that we can be present during the day. It might mean that, okay, a $40,000 tent doesn't make sense because that's the budget has been wiped. What do we like about the tent?
Mm-hmm.
Can we get it somewhere else? I would say like recenter yourself and don't beat yourself up with the fact that things are not going to be exactly how you thought they were going to be based on your Pinterest board.
Yeah, I love that.
Mine's kind of similar, I think, of the tail end of what you were just saying, like really focusing and remembering the important part is like you're getting married and what does that mean for you? Because it might be different for some people, whether you're religious or not, But like, don't put so much pressure on yourself for what are the flowers going to look like? What are these things going to look like? And this and that. I feel like so many of the people I know that get to the finish line of the wedding start saying, I just can't wait for it to be over. I'm tired of planning. I'm tired of making decisions and doing all these things. And it's like, don't let yourself get so overwhelmed that one, it should stay as fun as possible. And two, like, the other stuff isn't important.
You've made it a chore.
Yeah. Keep it fun. Keep it exciting. Like, I hate that you get to the end and you spent X amount of months planning it and now you just can't wait for it to be over.
I will say too, it is just like over one day.
Yeah, flash.
Mm-hmm. Like you put all of this planning and effort and thought into something and then like, it's like, oh my gosh, it's just like all this money and everything and this time. And then you wake up and you're like, the next day and you're like, it's like over.
Yeah.
And even if you don't want it to be over, like it just is the next day. Yeah. So it's also like, it's a day and it's crazy that it does really feel like it goes by so fast.
I think piggybacking off of what you're saying, I think that a lot of people get over the process quickly because there are so many people who have something to say. Mm. And we haven't even gotten into that. Me and Courtney talk about it all the time. But everyone has opinions. I don't know if you've experienced it all, but everyone has opinions about what your wedding should be. And I mean, the amount of drama that happened the moment that we got engaged. And I think that that's just, it's not just me. Like I've talked to so many of my girlfriends who have been engaged and it's the same way. It's like weddings just kind of bring the weirdest versions of people out of them.
It's a lot of jealousy from people too, I think. It's
a lot of jealousy.
Competition, sort of weird. Like I think you have to be able to separate. And I can say this as like the person here who isn't engaged. You have to be able to separate like other people's happiness from like, it has nothing to do with you. Like, it doesn't mean you aren't going to be happy or aren't happy or don't deserve things. Like, it's really completely bifurcated. Like, it has absolutely nothing to do with you. So like making it about you or like mentally comparing yourself to someone else's situation is like, it's weird. Like, it isn't about you. And I think whether you're really happy and you're engaged and your friend's also engaged and like, there feels like there's a weird competition there, or like you're completely single and your friend's engaged, like feels like that's weird. It's like, it should all be really normal. Like you should be able to be super happy for your friends as they embark on this journey. Just like you guys should be like really happy and kind of like, ooh, like who are you dating? Who are you talking to? Like being happy for your friends in different stages too.
Or where
like,
they're at.
Yes. Like we should as friends be able to, like we do obviously, but like people listening, like as friends, you should be able to show up for your friends like where they are and celebrate that phase, that stage. Because there's like, it's all exciting. Like being single is exciting. Being engaged is exciting. Being married is exciting. Like it's all exciting in its own right. But like you have to celebrate the stage that you're in and honor the stage that you're in. Also to celebrate the stage and honor the stage that someone else is in, I feel.
I think too, if you are sitting there thinking like, oh, I don't feel like so-and-so's excited for me right now and checking in and asking along the red process. Flag. Like also sit with yourself internally. When was the last time you asked them how their last date was or I don't know, whatever phase they're in. Like that has to be reciprocated on both sides.
I think that that's a big thing. Like when I first got engaged, it was like, there was so much going on in my life. It was like stuff with the studio, it was the engagement. There were just a lot of things I was asking for people to show up for me for. It's recognizing that while amazing things are happening in your life, your friends are still living their lives too.
Everyone else has their own life. There is like a line of people do need to show up and support. And then there's like a line of like, it's not people's job to ask every single day. Like,
yes.
Oh my God, give me the full debrief on like, what did you wake up thinking about? And like, what did you do today? And it's like, there's a line of like too needy, I think too. And it's like, there's like a healthy, supportive.
Yeah.
Also, if you're not, if you feel like they're not showing up and you really, if I'm dying to show you my dress, but you haven't asked me, I'm not going to sit here for 2 weeks and be stewing
kind
about
it. Just like, hey, I want to show you.
Courtney hasn't asked what my dress looks like.
I have for the record.
I'm just using this as a made-up example.
You know someone's going to twist that and be like, oh, bet she hasn't.
Yeah. But if that's something you really want to share and you don't feel like they're being a part, loop them in, make them part of it.
Yeah.
Be mature about it too. I think too, I saw something the other day that was like, instead of mirroring, like lead by example. Mm. So instead of being like, oh, you want to act like that? Like, I'm not asking you about your day either. I'd be like, hey, we'd really love it if we like I got to share with you like what was going on. Here's what's been going on lately. Cause then that makes that draw someone closer and they're like, oh, I want to hear about that. Instead of like, fine, like you want to be cold, I'll be colder. Like it's not going to get you anywhere if you care about that person. Mm-hmm. Best relationship piece of advice for people who aren't engaged, but like do want to find that person.
I think intentionality and communication. I think Ryan and I said this in the episode that we had together. We, during our relationship, like right when I moved to Austin, we played the We're Not Really Strangers Couples Edition card game.
Card game.
Yes.
And it just, it asks really deep questions that you wouldn't like naturally bring up. And it would almost, if you did naturally bring it up, it would almost feel like you're like
too much. Like,
it's either too much or you're like trying to, I don't know. It could just be challenging. But the card game gives you a reason.
It's almost like a third party asking the question. Exactly. How long were you and Ryan together, remind me, before? Because I didn't know you before you moved here. Together before you moved.
Before I moved, probably 3 months.
You did long distance for just 3 months. Wow.
Well, we did long distance for like 10 months.
Okay. That was...
But we weren't official.
Okay. But you were official for three of them. Were you like talking in the beginning? The stages are like so crazy.
We were talking for 10... We were talking for 10 months.
Before you started dating officially?
Yeah.
Because you were distance the whole time?
Distance and some other things.
Yeah. No, I know the other things, but, but okay. But so it was like truly dating for the 3 months and then you moved here. That was right when I met you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We started dating in April and I moved here in July. So, well, it was my first time moving here. Cause then I moved home and then I came back again
for the studio.
And I met you.
Yep.
Right. I actually met you on our like second anniversary.
Okay.
I was so hungover on our anniversary because Courtney and I.
You looked great.
Yeah, I think intentionality is so important. Communication is so important.
Yeah. Kirstella?
I think maybe my favorite relationship advice would be if you're having to force it, anything or overthink it, you're probably not in the right situation.
So major, like, with forcing it.
Especially if you're having to ask your friend, like, how do I respond to this text even? It's like...
I always do.
But you should stop because I tell you even all the time.
I don't think
you'll
do
say,
it in good situations.
Do you think this is too much or too crazy to say? Like, is this too sassy?
It's like, if it is, then that's not your person.
If they can't handle this level of sass, like...
They're out.
Exactly. So just let it be and be yourself, and which that's so like... cheesy and cliche.
No, it isn't, because it's like I said this the other day. I was like, you know, at the end of the day, like I am at a place now, like I think I used to do that. I'm in a place now where I try to show up like 100% me. And I'm like, if this just isn't for you, then like I'm not for you, and good riddance and goodbye. Mm-hmm. But you do, I like to show, it's like I always tell people, like I've been married. I always say I have a kid on the first date. Cause I'm like, if you can't hack it, like bye.
Yeah.
Like if that's like too much for you, then like I'm not gonna be for you, and like I wouldn't want to be. Anyways.
And I think too, it's so easy when you're overthinking it and questioning it to almost create this mold of like an almost version of you.
Totally.
And then you're kind of stuck in this, I'm almost acting like fully me and we're almost really good for each other.
I also think that people do that at any stage of the relationship. Mm-hmm. Like I think not communicating those things with people can happen at any stage, or like wondering if you're thinking, if you're sitting here, like I said earlier in the episode, wondering if this person is for you and you've been dating for 6 months, like they're not for you.
Yeah.
Like mm-hmm. if you are questioning that and how you feel, like they are not for you. Any last words of wisdom? This is sort of like part one. I almost feel like we could do like a
intro.
Little, we could do like a wedding series, like get another
so fun.
Check back in again. Like I feel like that could be super fun if you guys are down.
I feel like episode two, wedding edition, we'll both have like
more solid,
more final, not just I feel, but like
mm-hmm. here's where we're at.
Hopefully. It could be really cool to see the, oh my God, it's never going to happen.
No, you're doing great, sweetie. But you know what else? I think we need to do an after the wedding, like an after the final show, after the wedding episode. Cause it's like, how was it compared to what you thought? Expectation, like any tips now that you've been through it, fresh on your mind? Mm-hmm. Like, what's
the vibe?
Do
you still agree with everything that you already said?
Yes.
My favorite thing to ask newly married, more brides than grooms, because typically that's the person who's kind of has the more of a vision, if you will. But what's one thing that you're really glad you did, and what's one thing that you could have done without? or
yeah, that's good.
You felt like you spent too much money on, you would have tweaked a little bit.
Or didn't like end up fun. Really mattering, etc. Yeah.
Put a lot of weight in and it was just nothing.
I love that. Well, you guys, that's a wrap on today's juicy little wedding episode. We gave away a little more juice than I thought we were going to. love you guys. We'll see you in the next one. Bye.